Amen. Boy, well, several things to talk about or to say. So first of all, I think Carol said we, meaning the church, is really blessed. And I would have to say that my family and I are certainly blessed. It has been a joy to get to know you, to love you, to serve alongside you, to build relationships with you, both you sitting in here and those of you online joining us all across the country, but around Ely here. We miss them. We're glad to be here. This place is warm and beautiful. And you sound so wonderful. I love the Christmas season when we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior. I love these lights and the trees and the poinsettias. And it is gorgeous, wonderful. And then to hear my church family praising the Lord together, it warms my heart. And looking outside at the beautiful snow and God's creation, we're the ones that are so richly blessed to be able to serve you here. So thank you. Thank you for being our church family. Thank you for heeding God's call and bringing us all together, and look forward to many, many more years serving together. So Merry Christmas and welcome to Ledge Rock. Glad that you're here. Very glad that you're here. I could keep talking forever. I could just keep talking and talking. I've said a couple times I used to get in a lot of trouble in school for talking, talking too much. Lots of trouble. In fact, I spent many time in some disciplinary action by talking too much, and I chuckle now because that's how I pay the bills. That's how God uses me, is talking a lot. And so, take that, teachers. God can use any of us, even the most ADD, OCD, little hyper child. He can use any of us for His glory. So be careful what you pray for, because God absolutely will answer your prayers. In my exuberance to speak a lot, I was sometimes cautioned not to be a wise guy. My parents would say, my dad would say, don't be a wisecracker. And I didn't know exactly what a wisecracker was, but I could tell from his tone it wasn't good. It wasn't complimentary, and that I needed to kind of stop what I was doing, the direction I was headed. Didn't really grasp it, but as I got older and got chastised more and more for talking too much and sometimes thinking I had all the answers or whatever, I was often told, don't be a wise guy. And I realized that's a negative thing. You don't want to be known as a wise guy. So stop that. I looked up in the dictionary, what's the definition of a wise guy? And it says a person who speaks and behaves as if they know more than the person that's hearing them. Wise guy. Not so good. We didn't have cable. I didn't grow up watching reruns, but I've seen the Three Stooges a couple of times. And didn't one of them go, oh, yeah, wise guy, huh? Like, there you go. Not a good thing. The definition of wise guy also expands, and it says a mafia member or a gangster person. The deal is not good. Yeah, I think there was even a movie called Wise Guys, and it was about, you know, mafia and gangsters and bad stuff. The deal is, in the English language, we define wise guy as a negative thing. Not a very good thing. But once again, like usual, the Bible and the English language differ in some things. And so today we're going to explore and look at the wise men and an example that we can follow where all of us can be wise. And we're going to see the contrast of what we think of maybe in a negative context as being a wise guy, that actually biblically, scripturally, we can certainly benefit from following their example. So today we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, and that is the chapter immediately following chapter 1. So if you're looking for it, you'll find 2 right after 1. The book of Matthew is the very first book in the Gospels, and that was a joke, by the way. I think you can find Matthew chapter 2 if you can find Matthew chapter 1. The book was written by Matthew. He was one of Jesus's disciples. He was one of the followers. He was a tax collector. It was cool, the people that Jesus chose to follow him, men of humble origin, fishermen primarily. And here again, Matthew being a tax collector, not well-loved, not respected. Once again, Jesus can use any of us. And Matthew, boy, the book of Matthew is just brilliantly written. One of the first, the oldest of the Gospels, the good news of Jesus, according to, in this case, Matthew. And he just laid out the history of Jesus, how he correlated with Moses. And it's a very, very neat book, and I encourage you to read through it and study through the book of Matthew. And here today we're picking up after Mary had received the gift of this child by the Holy Spirit, and she had even given birth to Jesus already. And we're going to pick up where the wise men come seeking out this baby, this child, this new king. So if you have a copy of God's Word, follow along with me. And if not, we have a screen or a shot up here on the screen for you. And we're going to be just looking at the first two verses to start. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him.'" Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this glorious day when we can gather in this place and even together with our family online all over this country, and we can praise and worship you. Lord, we so thank you for Jesus, the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. And Lord, I thank you for your word and how it speaks to us so clearly. Lord, I thank you for this message that you've given me. And Father, I pray that you take your truth and your word and you would speak it through me this day. Lord, open up our hearts and our minds that we may more clearly understand who you are and how we can serve and glorify you together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, life is full of decisions. Life is full of choices. In fact, it's just a never-ending, perpetual cycle of decisions and choices, one after the other. Sometimes one decision leads to another, which leads to another choice. We're faced, in fact, we're bombarded with decisions and choices over and over again. And usually, those choices that you have to make, there's usually a good one and a bad one. There's usually a poor choice, and usually there is a wise choice, a good choice. And all of humanity is and will be faced with Jesus. Everyone will be faced with Jesus. What do you do with Jesus, this birth of this king, this Lord, this Messiah that came and lived a perfect life? And we'll talk more about that. But everyone, all humanity, will be faced with Jesus. Now, most all of mankind respects Jesus. Most religions, most organizations, most people throughout the ages respect Jesus. That's one option. That's one choice. However, a much wiser choice when confronted with Jesus is to revere him. The wise choice is revere Jesus. Today's point to this message is that everyone can make wise choices. We can all be wise guys if we follow this biblical example that we're going to explore here this morning. So in order to be wise in our life, wise guys and gals, the number one thing that we have to learn is that we need to seek after Jesus. Look at verse 1 again, the very beginning. "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born?'" And we'll stop there for now. So was Jesus, a little bit of Bible trivia here, was Jesus born December 25th in the year 0? True or false? Yes or no? False. Wait a minute. Why? We're celebrating this coming Friday is Christmas, December 25th. Why would we do that? Well, it's an interesting story. I'm not going to drag it out, but it goes way, way back, hundreds of years after the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It just fit better into a calendar to use December 25th. And so traditionally, we've stuck with that date. However, we can know with almost certainty Jesus was not born on December 25th, and there was no year zero. The calendar got a little bit mixed up way back then, transitioning from a Roman calendar to a Christian calendar. There wasn't the type of information available like we have today, so there was a little miscommunication, so it's led to some unknowns, and you're going to see even more of that. So when was Jesus born? Well, that's a great question. We don't really know. We don't know exactly when Jesus was born, but more than likely, the scripture says that the shepherds were tending their flocks. So that started in the spring, ran through summer, went into the fall, and then in the winter, they would bring the flocks in for protection and warmth and whatever. So it was probably during the spring, summer, or possibly into the fall. We're not exactly sure when Jesus was born, however, not December 25th. Does that mean we can't celebrate the birth, an unknown date, on December 25th? Absolutely not. It's about celebrating the gift that is Jesus. All right, so verse 1, back at the beginning again, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we know that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. Now, there's some information that will help us discover when Jesus was born. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of possiblys. There's no certainties here, but possibly this time when the wise men came to find the baby Jesus or this king of the Jews could have been as much as 1 or even 2 years after Jesus' birth. We're not sure, but we do know it was during the days of King Herod. And so King Herod died in 4 BC. So Jesus was probably, most likely, potentially, born in either 6 B.C. or 5 B.C., sometime before Herod's death. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem and began asking questions about this Jesus. So what do we know about the wise men? Some more unknowns and uncertainties. The wise men are very, very interesting. In fact, the wise men are mysterious. There's so much that we don't know. Possibly these guys came from Persia. We're not really certain. We believe they studied the stars in either astronomy or possibly astrology. Some think that these wise men practiced mathematics and taught mathematics. They studied numbers. Undoubtedly, these men were highly educated, very very well-to-do in their land, in their region. These guys may have been priests, may have had a religious order to them, maybe even interpreting dreams. Some think they go all the way back to Daniel and Babylon. We're just not sure. However, they were wealthy and respected. More Bible trivia. How many wise men were there? What does the Bible teach us about that? Don't know. Yeah, we're not sure. Could have been 3, could have been 33. We don't know. The custom is 3 because of 3 different gifts that they offered. But we don't know how many wise men there were. Probably a caravan of many people, riches and wealth and well-to-do, educated, star-following, star-gazing mathematicians following after this mysterious star that rose up, and following and finding where it's leading. They're called magi, and that's where we get the word magician from. Just conjuring up mystery and mysticism and just so many unknowns. But what you do need to know is these guys were very, very important. And what's so cool, I mean, these guys are absolutely, definitely not Jews. We do know that. These were not Hebrew people, not Jewish people. So what's super cool is that God chose non-Jews, Gentiles, to come and follow this star and find Jesus. This young 1 or 2 year old Jesus. Super cool that the Lord leads these guys to seek after Jesus. You and I, to be wise in our lives, we also need to follow these guys' example and seek after Jesus. The second thing we have to do to be wise in our lives is recognize the position and authority that Jesus holds. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" These wise men knew from the prompting of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and their lives that this Jesus that was born was important and special. In fact, they knew he was the king, the rightful king of God's people, the Jewish people, and they sought after him. But while searching for him, they knew and recognized his position and authority. As I began today's message, I'll say again, all humanity will be, already has been, or will someday be faced with Jesus. No one disputes the birth of Jesus. History records it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's been throughout history. No one disputes that Jesus came and lived. Who he was and what he did is what is sometimes debated. But most people will agree that Jesus was born, and they again respect him. Most other religions will say that Jesus was a good guy. In fact, some will say Jesus was a really, really good guy, a great teacher. That's one possibility, one answer. However, wise guys recognize that Jesus has authority over all creation, that he holds the balance of the universe in his hands, and that he is the king, not just of the Jews, but the king of all kings. And then they revere him, holding him in reverence. Again, they came to Jerusalem looking for this king and saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star rising and have come to worship him." You and I need to constantly be pursuing after, seeking after Jesus, and then recognize his authority and his position on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And the third thing is that we need to then worship him. Again, saying we've seen his star, and why did they go? Why did these wise men travel such great distance at such perilous times and such expense? They came for the sole purpose to worship Jesus. For you and I to live a life that's wise and showing wisdom, being wise guys and gals, we also have to worship Jesus. Every single false religion, I'm asked all the time, what's the difference between all these religions? How do we know that we've got it right? Aren't they all the same? Don't they all lead? I even heard this like within a week ago. Aren't they all the same? They all just lead us to a higher power or whatever. My answer is very resoundingly no. They're not the same. In fact, they're quite different. However, there's really only two differences in all the religions in the world. Every other religion says that Jesus is not God. Absolutely, without a doubt, not God. However, Christianity says that Jesus is holy God. God gave us commandments, and one of the first commandment is that we will have no other gods before him. There is only one God. One true God, one creator of heaven and earth, only one that breathed life into existence, holds everything in his hands and sustains everything. There is only one God that is worthy of our worship, and all of Christianity says wholeheartedly and undeniably that Jesus is, was, and always will be fully God. While he was here, he was God in the flesh, but he always was and always will be. In fact, the scripture says there is nothing that was created that wasn't created through Jesus. You and I need to seek after him and recognize his position and his authority. We need to worship him because Jesus is worthy of all praise and honor. Why is he so worthy of praise and honor, you might be asking? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that is the number one question that any of us can ever ask. Why is Jesus so worthy of our praise and worship? Why is he worthy of our very lives? Well, the truth is, the reality is that God left the glory and the power and the prestige of heaven and humbled himself and came down to the earth and was born of a virgin. And Jesus lived absolute, perfect, sinless life. The life that we were created to live, but didn't. We failed. Jesus came and did it for us. He fulfilled and accomplished the law and all of the prophecies. Jesus lived this perfect, sinless life. And at exactly the right moment in history, Jesus willingly went to the cross. And there on that cross, Jesus spilled his blood and gave his life as the Lamb of God, the once and for all sacrifice for humanity's sins. And they took Jesus off the cross and buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus burst forth victorious over sin and death and hell forever. And now, through this great and amazing gift and power that is Jesus, by God's grace, through our faith, we can be saved and forgiven of our sins and made new in God's eyes, and our broken relationship that sin caused will be made right because of Jesus. Why is he worthy of all of our praise and adoration? Because of his birth and his life and his death and his glorious resurrection. Look it down at verse 10. If you have a Bible, if not, I think we have a slide behind me. After the wise men, they met with King Herod, and Herod tried to trick them because he wanted to kill anybody that would be another king to rival him or dispute with him. And so the wise men were warned, and they went off, and they weren't going to go back and warn Herod any longer. And in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Whenever anyone truly comes in contact with Jesus, it overwhelms them with joy. I had a dear loved one just recently say, I wasn't living a life of joy. And as I look and reflect on my life and who Jesus is, I can live with joy no matter what. And that's the reality of what it's like to know and follow and seek and find and worship and adore and honor Jesus. It fills us with joy, and joy does not depend upon our circumstances. Joy comes from within. Joy is a gift of the Spirit that overwhelms us no matter the circumstances that we're in. I love this. Look at the response these guys give when they find Jesus, when they encounter him in verse 11, at least the beginning of verse 11. And entering the house where Joseph and Mary and this child were, entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And what did they do? They fell to their knees and worshiped him. Falling to their knees, they worshiped him. For you and I to be wise in our life, to make wise decisions and wise choices, we have to seek after Jesus, recognize his position and his authority, and then finally and fall to our knees and worship him together because of who he is and what he has done. My prayer for us forever and for this coming year is that you and I would make up a church full of wise men and women seeking after Jesus together, serving Jesus together, knowing him together, glorifying him together, recognizing Jesus and his authority in our lives on this earth. My prayer is that you and I would live lives of worship, not just for an hour a week here on Sundays, but every day, all day long, that others would see the glory of Jesus in us. And then look at the last part of verse 11. They worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Here's where we got the tradition of three wise men. because there's three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Valuable, precious, and expensive, extravagant gifts fit for a king. My prayer is that you and I would offer the gift to Jesus of our very lives, precious, whatever is dear to our hearts, that we would offer him everything that we have, our time and our talent, and yes, our gifts and offerings. But my prayer is that we would recognize Jesus and worship him because of how worthy he is. Last week, I talked about a great gift that you and I can give to our family members and loved ones this holiday season, and that is praying that now the God will fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a great gift that we can give to our loved ones and family members this year. That's a great gift. But today we're talking about the greatest gift that's ever been given, and that is Jesus. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of our rebellion, God proved his love for us in sending Jesus to come and mend that broken relationship. And so now today, as we close out, how do you respond? How do you respond now that you're confronted with Jesus? There's several options on the table. There's poor choices, not very good choices, and there's a wise choice. And I pray that as we study God's word and pray and prayer together and just love each other and love the Lord, that all of us will be wise in our choices as we seek Jesus, recognize who he is, and worship Jesus together and give him all that we have. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your never-ending love for us, and that even while we were so far from you, you still loved us and pursued us. And Lord, I pray that us here today and joining online forever in the future, that all of us would grow closer to you, especially during this Christmas season, but all year long. Lord, you are great and you are mighty. Oh, Father, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our sins. Hold us close, and may we truly honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.